So go with me this morning into John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we're going to read again a reasonably familiar part of text as we consider this morning. So this morning's word, I've called it battle with the mind. Not battle for the mind, but battle with the mind. Because so many of us struggle at various points with our own thinking. And we're wondering, how can we know that it's God? How can we hear God? How can we discern what God is saying by His Spirit in the midst of all the chaos and all that is happening around us? Well, the Bible is not silent on that. I think that the Bible has plenty to say on how we can be overcomers of the daily struggles, the daily challenges that we have in life. And so, reading from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, we find the account of Nicodemus, a learned man, a man of the law, a man who understood the law, knew it well. He was seeking to be everything that he could be through obedience to God. So let's read together then. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly." And when Jesus says truly, truly, what he's saying is he wants you to pay attention to what comes next. And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That is vital. That is a fundamental truth of being a believer, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, here we go again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." One of the commands that Jesus gave us is he simply said, "Believe and be baptized." Believe and be baptized. But we don't stop. It doesn't stop there. He says we need a renewing of our spirit. We need our spirits to be born, to be regenerated again. "That which is born of the flesh," he goes on to explain, "is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel what I have said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And I trust Holy Spirit to bring further revelation to that word. One of the greatest conflicts that we as Christians have is the struggle between the natural mind and the spiritual mind. Is that right? I would guarantee that for every single one of us who profess to be a student of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this regular struggle, this regular tension between the natural mind and the Spirit of God at work in us. You see, the human mind naturally, and that's a key word, naturally, seeks to understand the things of God. It seeks to understand the things of God through logic, through reasoning, through natural understanding. And many of us know people like that. They want to know God, but they are stuck in that place where they are using natural reasoning, logic, and understanding to try and understand something that isn't natural, but in fact is spiritual. Don't get me wrong, natural understanding is useful and we need to use it in the natural world. We live in a natural world, but we cannot use that same natural thinking, that same natural understanding, that same natural logic in the spiritual world. We cannot use natural understanding for the things of God because it's not natural. It's spiritual. It's supernatural. And Jesus made clear in his conversation with Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus was a very learned man, but Jesus made clear that to one of the most learned theologians of the day, he knew about God, but he made it clear that though Nicodemus possessed great intellect, religious knowledge, he couldn't, even with all his knowledge and understanding, could not comprehend what Jesus meant when Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's key. That's key. Unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And right there at the very beginning is the question that all of us must answer. Are you born again? And people say, oh, I don't need to be born again. I know God. His spirit comes in me. No, the word says you must. There must be a born again experience, a regeneration of the natural spirit. John 3:3. When we read about Nicodemus, listen, the issue is not a matter of intelligence or education. Doesn't matter how intelligent you are, doesn't matter how much you have read, the issue is not that. The issue is one of spiritual perception. So again, let me ask you, are you spiritually discerned? Are you in tune with things of the Spirit, or are you firmly grounded in the natural things of this earth? We are called to be born again in order to understand the things of the kingdom of God. And the same principle remains exactly the same. God has not changed that principle. It still remains that the kingdom of God can only be seen and only be entered into through Christ Jesus. Through being born again of spirit. You must be born again. You are not going to reason and logic and understand your way into the kingdom. Amen. You must be born again. You see, when the miracle takes place, when we begin to know Christ, not merely with our intellect and our understanding, when we know Christ through revelation of Holy Spirit, things begin to change. That's why we need the prophetic ministry. That's why it's vital in the life of the church, because the prophetic ministry is that which makes known, reveals the heart of God. It's that which allows us to hear what God is saying, and God speaks directly to the heart of man. It's the voice of God. It's people who are responding in obedience. We need the prophetic voice to discern at times what God is saying. And listen, Our only responsibility is that of obedience. In other words, when we hear God, we move in obedience. That's the only responsibility we have, is that of obedience. Everything else is God's responsibility. We get the easy part, seemingly, but everything else is God's responsibility. And yet many believers struggle to experience the fullness of God's power. Why? Because we make the mistake of fundamentally trying to understand the things of God through human understanding rather than a dependence on Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. We cannot do the Christian life without Him. He's the one who reveals all things and makes known the heart of God to us. We need Holy Spirit. You see, as long as we depend on the natural understanding, we will always struggle to understand or to receive revelation knowledge. As long as we try and work it out ourselves, we will always struggle to receive the revelation knowledge that Holy Spirit wants to impart to us. You see, revelation knowledge is the communication of God to our heart. It's God revealing things to us that we could spend a million years, we would never come to an understanding of. But God, in a moment, through revelation of Holy Spirit, makes known those things to us. What a privilege. What a privilege. Paul, the scripture teaches that in John 4:24, that God is spirit. And those who worship him must what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say we worship him in intellect. It doesn't say we worship him with our reasoning and what we know. It says we first and foremost worship God in spirit. You see, God cannot be truly known naturally. God is spirit, and only Holy Spirit can truly reveal the fullness of Christ to us. So let me ask you again, do you know Jesus? Have you encountered Holy Spirit? Because he's the one who introduces us and makes Jesus fully known. And on that basis, grasping that, or getting hold of the fact that we are so dependent on Holy Spirit, tells us this fact, that faith has to be approached not on our terms, not on our understanding, not on our basis, but faith can only truly be grasped on God's terms and his understanding and his revelation, because it's through Holy Spirit that God makes known his heart. It's through Holy Spirit that he guides our lives and enables us to walk in fellowship with him. We can't negate the power and the work of Holy Spirit in our lives, making Jesus known. Paul explains this clearly, I think, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 to 12. Paul, the apostle, says this, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person?" In other words, I don't know what you're thinking because I'm not a mind reader. So Paul is saying, only you know what you are thinking. And we agree with that because we know that that is what happens. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him or her? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have perceived not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Paul makes it clear we cannot understand fully the things of kingdom. We cannot know God. We cannot truly know Jesus in his fullness except through revelation of Holy Spirit. Elsewhere, Paul continues again in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. How many of you, before you came to Revelation, were arguing because you thought you could reason the kingdom out? You thought you could reason your way into a relationship with God, but you can't. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are not spiritually discerned. Paul again emphasizes that fact. Logic, reason will not bring us into the kingdom of God. Logic and reason will not bring us into a deeper relationship with the Father, because spiritual truth cannot be fully grasped by human wisdom alone. It must be revealed by the Spirit of God. Again, Ephesians 4:23 to 24 says this. It says, be renewed in the spirit of what? Not the spirit of your understanding, not the spirit of your reasoning, but be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created in righteousness and holiness. You see, we need a new way of thinking. We need a new way that takes us past our natural understanding. And God has made that way available to us. God has given us the way that we can renew our mind, change our thinking. Some people say that, you know, this is just the way I am. But listen, the gospel, the good news of the gospel tells us that actually we can be something different. The gospel tells us that irrespective of our environment, our upbringing, and our understanding, the gospel tells us that through Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, we can be new people, have a new way of thinking, a new attitude, and a new life, and we can become new people. You see, even the disciples, be encouraged, even the disciples struggled with this conflict or this tension between this natural reasoning and the spiritual faith. In the feeding of the 5,000 that we read in John 6, verses 1 to 13, the disciples focused on the lack, the things that they hadn't got. We've got 5,000 people and we don't have enough food. They focused on the lack of resources, whilst Jesus focused on his Father's supernatural provision. Jesus already knew that the whole resource of heaven was available to him. He knew that he has a Father in heaven that delights to bless and to meet need. You see, their reasoning couldn't produce the answer that was needed. They couldn't produce the solution. Why? Because the solution in that moment was never meant to come from human understanding and reasoning. It was meant to come from the Father's spiritual, supernatural provision. Supernatural provision. Not, let me just work this out. You know, if we've got so much money, we've got 5,000 people, if I work out how much money we've got, we can allocate so much to per person, and we might just be able to get so much food for them if we bargain, if we barter well. We might just do it to stretch. But in that moment, it was a lesson. It wasn't about natural understanding. It wasn't about natural resource and provision. It was about God's supernatural provision and the spiritual work of the kingdom of God. And the same battle continues today. The natural mind will always seek to dominate and to overcome our spiritual thinking. It will always seek to take us away from the things of God. And yet in Christ Jesus, the word tells us that our minds have been made new. We have a new way of thinking. We are overcomers. The old self is gone and dead. The new self has come. Apart from Holy Spirit, we cannot fully know God, understand his ways, or indeed walk in the fullness of his kingdom. I want to be clear at this point, though. I am not negating, I am not rubbishing in any way reason. I'm not opposed to reason. I'm not even opposed to learning and understanding. There are plenty of learned people in the room. That's not what I am saying at all. What I am saying is that any reasoning, any understanding that is divorced, separate from the Spirit of God, is not the right way of coming to the right conclusion. When we think, when we reason, we cannot do it on our own. We have to submit to the Spirit of God. We have to allow God to have his say in every situation, in every circumstance. Lord, what's your thoughts on this? Because I guarantee his ways are far better than our ways. His solution is always far better than our solution. God gave us minds to think. He encourages us to study and to work things out. But spiritual truth, and this is what I'm saying, spiritual truth cannot be discovered by intellect alone. Praise God for our learning institutions. Praise God for, you know, all our academic qualifications. But if we're solely reliant on that, hear me, those of you watching online, if all you are relying on is your intellect, your natural reasoning, you will never see the kingdom of God. You will never truly know a deeper relationship, the fullness of Christ Jesus. Let me hopefully help in terms of what I'm saying. I've put it into two categories. If we talk about faith, if we talk about understanding, I've put it into two categories. One that I call sense-based faith. You see, the first one is sense-based faith. Sense-based faith is dependent on, exactly as it says, it's dependent on what we see, what we touch, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell. We use our natural senses to inform our faith about who God is and what he's able to do. And sense-based faith is useful in the natural world. For instance, when we are crossing a road, we need to use sense-based faith. We need to look. We need to hear. We need to think about what is happening around us before we take the step in the road. Sense-based faith is useful in the natural world, and we don't discard it. But spiritual faith is ultimately revealed by Holy Spirit. You see, sense-based faith is ultimately reliant on our own understanding. It's ultimately reliant on what we see, smell, hear, taste, and touch to inform us and then having taken in all the natural senses or stimulants, we then base our faith, or we come to a conclusion based on natural things. Let me tell you, if you try and discern and work God out based on our natural understanding, we will always come to the wrong conclusion. Always. Always. Because you're starting from the wrong place. Revelation faith, however, is different, because revelation faith is not dependent on what we think. It's not dependent on what we think we know. Revelation faith is solely dependent on what God, by His Spirit, reveals and makes known to us. Things that only God can know. Things that only God understands. And God, in His goodness, reveals those things to us. And once He reveals those things to us, we then make our decision based on the revelation of God Himself, the revelation of Holy Spirit. The difference between the sense-based faith and revelation faith is that sense-based faith relies on human observation and understanding. Sense-based faith relies on the old ways of thinking, the old man. Revelation faith relies on the fact that we have a renewed mind, the fact that the Spirit of God has renewed our thinking, the fact that we choose to walk in obedience to God's word, the fact that we choose to submit ourselves to work to the work of Holy Spirit. Sense-based faith and revelation faith are both dependent on evidence. They're both dependent on evidence. I'm not talking, because there is a third one I could talk about, blind faith, but that's not what I'm talking about. Both are reliant on evidence, but sense-based faith is reliant on the evidence of man. It's reliant on what we conclude based on our own information. Revelation faith is based on what God says, as revealed by Holy Spirit, as revealed through His word. Revelation faith trusts God and His character above our natural conclusion. Sense-based faith accepts God's word only when it agrees with our conclusion. Revelation faith believes because it's convinced of a God who cannot lie. Revelation faith believes because it is convinced of a God who never changes, a faithful God, a God who is all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. And we accept that we don't know everything, we can't know everything, because we are finite beings. Revelation faith ultimately is the faith that honors God. And so let me wrap this up. For every believer, without exception, every believer, every person who makes a decision toward Christ has to make a decision about which voice they're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to the voice of the natural self with all its limitations? Are you going to still trust in your own reasoning, your own understanding, your own information? Because if you do, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. You will always come to the wrong conclusion, because the limitations of the natural man hides the kingdom of God. It hides the revelation of the Spirit. The natural mind will always measure possibility by human limitation. But revelation faith rests in the character and the word of God. Who is God? What does he say? What does he reveal by his Spirit? You see, true faith ends where our natural faith ends. True faith begins when our natural resources run out, or we accept the limitations of our natural resources. And when we begin, to see not with our natural eyes, not with our natural understanding, when we begin to see with the Spirit of revelation, when we recognize the work of Holy Spirit in us, it's then and only then do we begin to see with the eyes of faith. Let me encourage you this morning. Set aside those limitations of trying to work things out in your own strength. Open yourself to the fact that God has made known, the fact that he wants to reveal himself, and he's made the provision for that through Holy Spirit working in us. And more than that, God has made it possible so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can know God, can enter in through the revelation of Holy Spirit. Amen.